Off the ball. GAA.
I always feel like the best players were able to grab a game by the scruff of the neck when an opportunity kind of presented itself. Great players and great teams were able to kind of seize that moment.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
So a chance now with less than 2 minutes to go. Kempers versus Shelton.
Mario Kempes, the star of Argentina's first World Cup triumph in 1978, scored a whopping 303 goals over the course of his career, which included spells at Valencia, Rosario Central, River Plate and Instituto. But what if his career had taken a different path and ended up at Spurs? Well, just years after helping his nation win their first World Cup, he nearly joined his fellow countrymen in Ozzy Ardiles and Ricky Villa at the North London club. But why didn't the deal get over the line? Well, in episode 4 of Richie McCormack's Sliding Doors, Richie explains why the transfer didn't come to fruition for one of the best strikers in the world of the 70s and 80s. Find this week's episode in your OTB football podcast feed for free each and every Monday. You can also go back and listen to the other episodes in this series focusing on Michael Laudrup, Pelé and Ronaldo. Subscribe in your OTB football podcast feed now.
Off the ball.
Folks, hello and welcome to tonight's Late Night League of Ireland with myself, Shane Keegan, back in the presenting chair. Our intrepid news talk reporter, Ben Sims, is out and about. Dundalk, I believe, at the Dundalk game. So he hopes to join us. Of course, we even jump into the hot seat first. Much like tonight's League of Ireland, we're slow to get started, slow to get moving. But in fairness, we did have a good excuse. Double jobbing as ever, Mr. Barry Murphy has quickly sprinted straight out of Tallaght Stadium to jump on board here for a chat. Barry, how are you?
Shane, not too bad. Can you hear me okay?
And yeah, not too bad there at all. Not too bad. Barry, I'll run through the results here quickly for everybody and then we'll get into the chats. So quickly through the Premier Division, we had Derry City being defeated at home by Bohemians 1-0. Shelburne and Galway a 1-1 draw. Waterford and Sligo Rovers remain the stalemate at 0-0. We had Dundalk 1-1 at home with Drogheda United. And we had a 2-0 win for Shamrock Rovers at home to St. Patrick's Athletic. In the first division, we had a 2-1 win for homeside Finn Harps against UCD. Kerry 0, Athlone Town 1 down at Kerry. Treaty United 0, Bray Wanderers 1 at Treaty United. And Wexford 1, Cork City 4. So 3 away wins on the bounce in the first division. But we'll jump back to the Premier Division as ever. Anybody who is on the call who has something to say or a conversation to start for us, we'd love to hear from each and every one of you. It's what keeps the show going. But Barry, we will start with yourself. I got a good majority of the game you were watching in myself. Talk to us. Shamrock Rovers, St. Patrick's Athletic. I suppose my headline statement is... have we seen the birth of a new League of Ireland star in the appearance of left-winger Adam Brennan? How impressive was he?
Absolutely incredible, Shane. And the League of Ireland veteran now, and Michael Noonan as well, made the difference. The triple substitution come on the hour mark. Jack Byrne, Graham Burke and Michael Noonan all introduced. And to be fair, it was quite 50-50 before that. Paxton Rovers, Pat had a great chance in the second half. Edmondson found himself on the edge of the box, free, nobody around. Kipped around Ed McGinty and hit the outside of the post. Really should have done better. And passed another chance just before that as well. Ed McGinty made a great save. But Adam Brennan, what can you say? I don't think I've seen such a good debut in the League of Ireland in years. Absolutely incredible.
It was because you see the starting lineup and you're looking and you're going, Right, you know, Enda Stevens there, both Cody O'Sullivan and Adam Brennan have got a start ahead of Enda Stevens. Maybe it's just because of, you know, pre-season fitness and all of that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you what, best of luck to Enda Stevens trying to get into this side.
Yeah, I think he acknowledged it as well coming off at the end. Enda Stevens, he got a few minutes after, he's got a battle on his hands here, but he was just incredible. Like, his physical presence as well. He was up against Boyce, who was up and down that wing, a strong lad, a quick lad, and to fill the boots of Josh Honan there, you've got to do your defensive work really well. He did that also, but his touches on the ball, a couple of times he took it down on the chest in his stride, and the goal for Michael Noonan came that a diag across the pitch, took it down his chest, had a lovely ball into Michael Noonan, it's a brilliant finish. And then you're thinking, Paul is missing from this performance, is a goal for himself. Ball down the right, Danny Grant clips it over to the back post, and that substitution that Pat has made, bringing Zach Albacete on for Boyce. Obviously lost a little bit of defensive point in this. Brennan nips in at the back post and heads it in, and in his celebration goes and gets cramped as well, so just to add to it as well, but absolutely phenomenal performance.
Yeah, it surely was. And listen, when I'm a fan of the wing back system myself, and there's never from a manager's point of view, it always puts a broad smile on your face when your right wing back is assisting your left wing back for a goal, or vice versa, as they did for that last one. Listen, like you said, to be fair to Boyce, I thought he gave as good as he got in the first half, and you'd probably have called it a draw match on points between those two players, and it was a brilliant battle to watch in the first half. But if it was level in the first half, Brennan just unfortunately for Boyce took it up another few gears. But overall, like as you said, Pat's very much in the game. Two gilt-edged chances just before that triple, maybe 5-10 minutes before that triple substitution, which is, by the way, quite possibly the greatest triple substitution in League of Ireland history. To be bringing on three players of that quality was ridiculous. But no, I thought Pats were decent in the first half. I thought Pico Lopez, my fair in saying, the man is somehow managing to get faster as he goes into the the latter part. If it wasn't for his pace on one or two occasions, the pace he showed on one or two occasions in the first half, Pats probably could have had decent chances. And then, as you said, the two big chances did arrive. I couldn't really, it was hard to tell on the replays, Baz. Was there a touch on the Jamie Lennon shot, or did it just go straight off the post, did you think?
No, it was McGinty's save. He actually moved his feet to the left and slipped a little bit, so did really well to kind of keep himself half upright and just got a little finger to it and made the save. But it was a massive save at the time. But even the Evanston chance from the edge of the box, then McGinty got to clear a little chip out from the back, and it just wasn't a night for it. The wind caught it. It played straight into Evanston and found himself onside. He's got to do better. He's got to finish it. You feel maybe three or four games into the season, he starts at home, but a little bit of ring rustiness. And that was probably the difference. Had Pat scored there on top, they probably wouldn't have thought, well, listen, we deserve this. They'd done really well in the first hour, but the difference was the substitutions. You look at what Rovers were able to introduce, and Pat's just looked a little light bringing Omar Palmer on with what, 5 minutes to go, couldn't really make a difference. Zach Albizetti coming on, you're missing the goals from Max Matter that he could potentially bring. Simon Power as well, just he looked knackered after 75 minutes, and there was no real chance to change it up top and get forced away back into the game.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's all doom and gloom from the Pats' perspective, though.
They were not at all.
For a long period of this, weren't they?
They really were. As you said, it's that old cliche, you got to score when you're on top, and they just didn't, because they went for a different system tonight as well. They played Levy and in behind Evanston as well, with Nugent alongside them. So it was kind of a 2-1 formation up top as well. So they were very narrow. Rovers hit them on the wings as they usually do, but they were so solid down through the middle. Jamie Lennon and Bagley sitting in front of that back three. They were really good and solid. Didn't give up a lot of chances in that first half. Again, just it's past the same old problem as last season. Not enough goals at the other end. And when you look at the clean sheets they kept last year, 18 clean sheets, the best in the league. If you can add goals, so you give yourself a chance, but not far in at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. And listen, I suppose I was primarily bouncing between that one and the game up in Derry. I've tried to invite Anthony onto the call. I'm not sure. I don't see him there as a speaker. Can you hear me, Anthony?
Yeah, hi, Shane. I'm here.
Here we are. Great, great, great stuff. Great stuff. Anthony, were you up in the game?
Yeah, we're driving through. Where are we, Anthony?
coming up to Lifford.
We're coming up to Lifford now, so yeah, we're on our way back.
You are making good time. Fair play. I saw a good chunk of it, Anthony. Very, very impressed by your performance myself. I assume you'd echo that.
Yeah, look, it's hard to siphon out the football end of it because you're in the corner there and you're kind of just roaring and shouting. So you're not going to get much analysis off me here, lads, tonight, to be honest. But what I will start off with is game went down a tree. The people up in Derry were brilliant. There was no aggro. We were in talking to the Derry fans at halftime. I know it gets a bit of bad press, but that was a really good showing there for the League of Ireland tonight. I thought the game was very good as well. I thought the referee let it flow. I thought there was very little ball out play time. We got a good game, to be honest with you. I was just looking at live score there, and Bowes went down for 6 shots on target, and I know they hit the post and the crossbar as well. So I think we probably deserve the 3 points overall.
I know, I'd certainly agree. I thought you were very, very impressive. And listen, Anthony, I don't know what sort of angle you had, but hopefully you can give our listeners a decent review of what was an absolutely outstanding free kick from Dawson Doyle.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I tell you, it was like turn. Ross Tierney went up again. He had 2 or 3 little runs where he just turned on the afterburners, and it was like the balls were sitting in, and then all of a sudden it was the afterburners when boy 1 or 2. I think he was fouled twice before he got in there. Bang.
It was, yeah.
The boy stood over and Flores stood over the other side of it. And I said beforehand, I said, look, this is 1-0. If he gets this on target, it's a goal. But my God, there was no run up. He had about 4 steps before he ran up, and it just flew in. You couldn't even see it was that fast. It just flew in. You just seen it hit the crossbar, and then the cheer went up, and unbelievable.
It really, really was. Baz, I don't know if you've seen it yet. To be fair to the keeper, he does his very best. He gets a small bit of a hand to it, but he can't quite keep it out. And what I did love was Garrett McGlynn, friend obviously of the show. Garrett was on co-commentary, and when Rossi was brought down, Anthony, Garrett McGlynn actually says, for a player of Dawson Devine's quality, he could hardly position this free kick better for himself. And Dawson duly obliged with an outstanding strike, but a really, really excellent result for Bowes there tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a huge result, and I can tell you there's nothing worse for a goalkeeper when you see an unbelievable right footer stepping over the ball, and then you've got an unbelievable left footer stepping over the ball as well, and you're trying to guess which one's going to hit it and position yourself accordingly. And listen, Dawson's hit the ground running this season already. He's been phenomenal. He needs to chip in at that end, and he's doing that now. Once you keep him higher up the pitch and stop him getting bored and having to come back in and get the ball deeper, he's an absolutely incredible player. And just interesting to know who started in goal for Derry tonight. Was the new lad or the young lad that started last week?
The new signing went straight in.
New signing. Yeah, I was speaking to Brian Maher today. He actually broke his wrist, so it's going to be a decent length spell on the sidelines for Brian. Picked up an injury in pre-season. He got a whack on it and then played on with it, and it turns out it was a broken wrist, so it's not going to be one that's recovered in 2 or 3 weeks. He's going to have a decent spell, so he'll need to hit the ground running, the young man in goals, to stay with the chasing pack, really.
Barry, he actually had a really good game, that keeper. His kicking was brilliant.
Yeah.
And, I was watching him in the warm up beforehand. He done really well. So yeah, I actually thought it was the young lad till halftime. Someone told me that it was the new lad he signed yesterday. But yeah, he was quite good. He has a presence about him. He's a big lad.
Anthony, Baz mentioned about a right footer and left footer standing over the free kick. The left footer who stood over it obviously was Mullen. I thought he was really impressive for you tonight as well.
Yeah, but do you know what, Shane? I was giving Dara Power in a 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10. He was unbelievable. He was really, really good. He came in tight, narrow, won all the headers he had to win. He was talking. He was out really quick. He covered that whole flank. His distribution was very good. He put 2 or 3 into the back post. Bowes haven't had a serial back since Andy Lyons went across the Rovers and then probably Pender before that. And it's been a real thorn in the side for us. We haven't, you know yourself, if you don't have your fullbacks.
I was just saying,
yeah, Darragh Power, like, it was a real tick box exercise to get a right fall in the win. He's got both expectations from where, but now they're through the roof.
Yeah, Baz, I suppose Alan Reynolds has gone with what he knows there. Obviously, Rennie would have been, you know, had plenty of stints at Waterford United, would know the scene down there. And he's gone with Darragh Power, who is not the most high-profile signing, but as Anthony has said there, has come in, has been rock solid for them, and yeah, really, really caught the eye for them tonight. A very important signing so far.
He is, and he just has that bit of solidity to the defence as well. And you look at Hickey and Todd as well. They're two really good signings, and see what they've done, turned him into a centre-half. It's incredible, really, what you do with him. I know he's played there before, and it's not alien to him, but to have two clean sheets in the open two games against two really tough sides, that's incredible stuff. And you've got a really good goalkeeper. It's a great, similar to Pat, it's a great base to go and build from. And once you add goals, and you've got the quality up there of Douglas James Taylor, and now Colley up there as well now, hopefully stays fit. You've just got quality all over the pitch. For the first time, you just think they're not really, that starting 11 is as good as any starting 11 in the league now. When it comes to longevity and hanging in there towards the end of the season, have they got the strength and depth? Who knows? But listen, it's a brilliant start for them.
Anthony, not sure if you can still hear me there. You're going through a dodgy enough area. But I suppose the one question mark I would have had, either for you, Anthony, or for Baz, is no doubt whatsoever that a centre midfield pairing of Jordan Flores and Dawson would, you know, in terms of in possession and being able to play the ball and dictate the tempo. But I did think, away to Derry, is there enough grit? Is there enough of a defensive solidity and mindset in that centre midfield pairing not to get undone up in a tough game like that? But they were very, very good defensively as well as offensively, and particularly Jordan, I thought he did his job very well, if you can hear me, Anthony. No, he can't. You might jump in and save me, Baz.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. Like, when you go to the Brandywell, you've got to try and win that battle first. It's such a tough place to go, and everything's on top of you. Decisions usually go kind of a little bit against you as well, so you've got to try and win those battles early on. And for two lads that aren't the biggest and most imposing presences, you've got to go about it a different way. It's better if you can hang on to the ball and do it that way, but you've got to put tackles in, especially coming up against the kings of the world. You've got good, strong lads in there, a big size Jerry as well. So that's a massively impressive result to go up to Brandywell and get.
Surely is. We had Pat Mitchell waiting to jump on, and I didn't quite get to him in time. So if he's still on the call, Pat, hit the speak button again there, and we'll get you on. I do see one of our regulars, Shane Kennedy, who is probably not overjoyed with his team's result tonight, but it'll be interesting to see what you made of the performance, Shane.
Yeah, same old as last year against the low block lads, boy at the back, and the two lads in midfield, and played with 2-10. The Swedish fella played with, I don't know how to pronounce the name, played on the left where Cute usually plays, and then Harry Wood played on the right of the 10. Then John Martin up front, Will Jarvis was like a left wing forward back. He wasn't tracking the ball, he didn't have no interest. But yeah, I think most importantly tonight, Paddy Barrett went off injured in the first half, and then Orden Casey, who's been absolutely unbelievable. I had a test read. He went off just before the end. There were 5 minutes left and he had 10 men. I think he has one bad one, and I'm hoping just precaution on Paddy, but that's the biggest worry of tonight, yeah.
It certainly would be, yeah. Jeez, if you were down both of them, you're in bother. And was it just a case of puffing and puffing but not coming up with enough quality, Shane?
It's just more like the instinct stuff's not there yet. I don't know if it's ever been there against these type of teams. It's pretty easy to play against. And ironically, for all the passing and football that we try and play, our goal comes from a goalkeeper's punt straight after they score into the box, and I think it might be a scramble and the Swedish fella gets taken down. So, and then our big chance, if you watch the highlights, you'll see Kieran McEnroy misses a sitter. and that comes from a day-long throw, which we go and counter. So, like, we didn't really create a whole lot. Like, now the referee has an absolute shocker where he pulls Harry Wood back for a free kick. Or, sorry, Harry Wood was fouled and he pulled it back for a free kick straight away. We were 2-0. It was one of those ones where you're like, what are you doing, Rick? But, yeah, no, just not good enough. And I don't want to say we're turning into them, not up the road there, but some of the signings haven't kicked on straight away from across the league.
Harry, that'd be a concern if they're struggling to break down a low block, because, I mean, let's be honest, at least half the division is going to come to Talca and set up with a low block. So they're going to have to come up with solutions there, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, and especially when you've been exposed to that last season and you haven't found the answer to it then, and it's still a problem now. And you think with some of the signings they've made, obviously you've signed a flair player like Jarvis who can unlock like a low block like that, and if he's not coming up with the goals at the moment, where's it coming from? Can they change around? I'm sure Joey's going to look at that now, watch the videos back and see what way they can go and implement it now. Because you are going to, as you said, Shane, you're going to come up and face that 20 times out of 10 for a lot of teams, and going to be hit on the counter-attack, especially teams early on in the season trying to get points on the board. The likes of Drogheda, Waterford, Sligo, Galway, they're all going to come to the Talca Park and do that. So you can't fall behind. You've got to pick up those home wins.
Well, Shane, even though you're the away team next week, like you're away to Drogheda, you can be pretty much sure you're going to get the exact same all over again. So what needs to change, or what do you need to do differently? Or what would your advice be?
Yeah, we played the man with Jarvis tonight, and they're quite similar, although Jarvis is much better. I suppose Ali Q was a miss, and Bang, to be fair to him, he's unbelievable defender, and he gets up and down the pitch, but against the low block, he done well last year, but he's not good enough for me. He's great against the Rovers or something, you know, end to end, or against the Michael Duffy, but yeah, he's not much of a footballer in him, like, to be honest. I don't know what you do. We didn't concede. The goal we conceded was a bit soft. David Hoadley runs off McInerney, and then Tvarnik, I think, finishes it. But yeah, you'd like to see us just keep things a bit more simple and stop with the overpassing and stuff like that. You can understand you keep the ball, but it's just very slow. And even Jarvis, my young fella, it was very funny. He says me there before he went to bed. He's like, why did Will Jarvis not play 30 to 90? He came off after 60. He was like, God, we were fresh. And he didn't do anything, and then we take him off after 60 minutes.
30 to 90, I like that. That's a new
one. That's what he said. He only had 60 minutes in him. Why did we not play him at the end when they were tired?
And I was like, that's a good point, though. There's a manager in him there. You look at, and not to go back to Rovers, but you look at the difference that the fresh legs and a bit of quality did come on when the patch head started up a bit.
Oh, you can see the quality he has. I don't know if you'll see in the highlights. He shoots another two people on their arse as well. And yeah. You thought he should have dropped, but like when he gets the ball, he is slow and he slows it down 100%. But he's probably going to be the most foul player in the league. And you can see he hasn't kicked the ball much. So when he gets going, if we had stayed on the pitch, like, it's a different game. But the minute he went off, we brought on Dickie and... No, we don't know if we brought on the Amanda left back. The Swedish fella went left back and played, and the Portuguese fella went the front. But their creativity just went. Harry Wood was stuck in that.
How did Freitas do when he came on?
You can see there's no combination with him and Boyd. I'm not going to say a bit of a headless chicken at the minute, but that's what it seems. He needs time to people to know the strengths and what he's about. But I suppose he just needs one to go in off his arse as well. But Harry Wood just looks too robotic in the system. He's playing in that little right side pocket 10, and he wants to be just more free. I don't know why we can't just keep it simple and let him play in the hole and actually like move around the pitch instead of just playing in a little square.
Are you a bit concerned?
I would be, because I wouldn't be surprised if we went and beat the good teams, because that's what we're good at, and our end-to-end games will suit us. But yeah, I thought we would have learned how to play against the lower teams, and that hasn't happened yet. Oh, before I go as well, Meepo, he gets a lot of stick off. Some Shells fans, and he was a massive miss tonight. Like he was huge. Like he would have stretched, especially in Talca away from home. He has no space, but he would have stretched them and got us in behind. And he was a massive loss. We had nothing in behind tonight. Like everything was all in front of. It was all in front of Galway. Yeah. Who actually done well, to be fair to them. Everyone has probably had them to go down. I backed John Caulfield in a battle, and I think he'll
just about keep them up, to be fair to them. You probably won't hear it from anyone, but they were solid enough. Like, and Chris Dwardek done very well from when he came on compared to the other fella, Lomboto.
Yeah.
He wasn't great, though, but Dwardek was good when he came on.
Yeah, surprised not to see him getting the starting team yet, but I'd say that cement his place in it going forward. Shane, fair play for jumping on, giving us the overview. Cheers, appreciate it.
Thanks,
Shane. Oh,
well, Shane, what do you reckon? Is there enough? You've seen enough from that two games from Galway. Obviously, undeserved, probably losers in the first game. You've seen enough to think they might stay up?
I don't know. I do think they'll have it tough enough. It's hard to see. Put it this way, Badge. It's hard to see Galway scoring 2+ goals in too many games.
Yeah.
I think their points are going to come from 1-0 wins and 1-1 draws in the manner that they did tonight. Listen, nobody is ever going to, like to build on Shane Kennedy's point, nobody is ever, well, I would say very, very few will play Galway and beat them, you know, 3 or 4-0 this year. That's just not, you just don't do that to Galway because they're so well set up and so well organised. It's just whether they have the firepower. They'll always get a fair whack off set pieces. They're excellent on that. But will they get enough goals from open play to keep them out of those bottom two spots would be my question.
Yeah, have they got the personnel to do what they did in 24 and keep the clean sheets they did, Clarkey in goal and nick a goal down the other end. You look, going through that starting 11, you probably think not. But isn't that a massive result for them tonight?
It is no big one for them. I've just welcomed on Sean Keane there. We accepted the invite there. Can you hear us, Sean?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, great stuff, Sean. You were in Tala tonight, I assume?
I was. I just want to come on and say, is it too early for Adam Brennan to get the Ballon d'Or?
Well, listen, we're with you based on the 90 minutes that I saw the majority of the 90 and Baz saw all of the 90. No, look, it was extremely impressive, Sean, wasn't it?
I honestly don't think I've ever seen a debut like it for Rovers, like some of the players we've had over the years. For him to come in at the young age he is and do some of the stuff he done was just ridiculous.
Absolutely, and listen, not to let him take all the glory. I was impressed with Victor tonight as well. I thought we saw flashes of why Arsenal have splashed the cash for him. I thought he was a real live wire.
Yeah, I think he was a bit weak when he was in the middle, in regards to people fouling him and stuff. But when he was out wide and got a bit of space, he was well able to run. I just think he needs to kind of strengthen up a bit, and I went to release it a bit earlier. But just then, I just thought McGovern was quite poor. That we looked a bit of a different team when Noonan came on. I don't know whether that was tiredness from Pats, or the fact that Burkey and Bourne came on to kind of control the game a bit more.
Is that triple substitution the greatest introduction of three players in league we've ever seen in the League of Ireland? I mean, my God, when a game is deadlocked, and you need a spark. I mean, any club would be absolutely ecstatic to bring on one of those three players. To be rolling out those three, I mean, the Pats defence must have just thought, oh, here, you know, we've been rock solid. We've done really, really well for the last 60, 65 minutes, and now we have these three coming at us.
Well, like, I think most of our bench start for most other teams in the league.
No doubt.
We probably haven't seen that across the last couple of seasons, so... just with injuries and stuff, and that's without adding Razzy and Mandreou and then the new fella that we signed today. So I think we could be quite strong this year.
Yeah, I assume you're fairly confident going into the season, and even more so confident based on tonight of retaining your title.
We're never too confident with the way we usually start, but after tonight, Sean, I think bar a 10-minute period where Pats should have been 1-0 when Edmondson missed that chance. I think we controlled the game pretty well. So I think, just in regards to Rob Harvey, I think he let the game flow quite a lot, which was quite good. No, he wasn't blowing up for silly fouls. He kind of just let the lads play. So I think that kind of added to the game as well, especially with our technical players, kind of let them have a bit of freedom.
Yeah, Sean mentioned John mentioned control in the game there. Jeez, there's hardly a better man in the league to control the game than Matt Healy. He just looks so freaking elegant, doesn't he?
I rang one of my Pats mates and I said to him, it reminded me of like a Steven Gerrard pass for that pass to Brennan for the goal.
Yeah.
It was just sensational.
He's just elegant on the ball, isn't he? Like, and he does his doggy work as well. About 5 minutes before, he's broken up an attack and he gets the ball and he tried it in the first pass. It just went over Brennan. And in the second half, the touch from Brennan is sensational, though. But to know he had that... Yeah. What do you make of Jake Mulroney's little position kind of in behind McGovern?
See, like, I don't know whether McGovern... It's because McGovern was playing so bad. It just felt like he was a bit off and... I don't know. I think if Gaffney was up front, Mulroney would have been better.
Yeah.
It's just, it felt like every touch from McGovern, his second touch was a tackle. Like,
yeah.
I don't know whether I'm being too harsh on him, but
no, he showed glimpses of in behind. Yeah. He makes good runs in behind, but there's no end game to it. There was one in the second half where he kind of knocked Redmond off the ball, went into the box, he started to take a shot on it, do something. Wins the corner in the end, but the chance goes then. And then the first half, so short, as you said, and then loses it. And then Mulroney stopped passing and he looked out of position then. So it is a kind of a bit of that as well.
Yeah, maybe he just needs to pull the trigger a bit more, like, and we'll see the best of him.
Yeah, an embarrassment of riches there, as we said, Sean. That's for sure. Although it was interesting, as in the first half, I thought arguably Shamrock Rovers' best attacking player was Dan Cleary, who was making some serious forays into the final third.
He's beating in the air, doesn't he? It was the old knock around one side, run around the other, wasn't it? The old school way. But he was brilliant, to be fair to him, Dan. And yeah, it was interesting to see the way they kind of set up as well. But Nugent playing in that kind of two behind Evanston as well. It just left a lot of space on the wide areas, and Dan just saw a lot of space and ran into it. That was kind of the way it was. It just opened up in front of him and he didn't stop. And the first one, he was very good. Another clean sheet as well to start off.
For sure. Sean, you rolled straight into another one on Monday evening, I think, is it?
Yeah, Monday.
Monday evening.
The big one next Friday.
I was going to say, if he could pick up another 3 points, that would set you up nicely heading into a game that should be a real test based on what I saw of Bowes tonight. I was really, really impressed with Bowes tonight. You must be looking forward to that one.
I don't think I've ever looked forward to a derby, to be honest with you.
You're looking forward to it in the same way you look forward to getting on a roller coaster, put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sean, fair play for jumping on.
Cheers, lads.
Talk to you again. Mind yourself.
Bye, 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 bye.
Baz, I have to ask, have you had a chance yet to have a look at Drogheda United's equaliser tonight?
Hear me?
Can you hear? Yeah, have you now again? Can you hear me?
Yeah, say that again, Shane. Yeah, go ahead.
Did you get a chance to have a look at Drogheda's equaliser tonight yet?
I haven't. I'll find it.
Baz, so Conor Keighley, Conor Keighley actually for less. I was going to say.
Do you need to explain this to me? I could probably visualise how this happened.
Well, it's his usual. The second part of it is his usual, but he's 5 minutes into the game, less than 5 minutes into the game, and he actually gets involved in an off the ball incident with Owen Kenny. Now Owen probably made a little bit much out of it, but it resulted in him getting booked after like I say, less than 5 minutes gone. And you're like, Jesus, Connor, that was a bit stupid now, putting yourself on a yellow that early. But he manages to behave himself for the rest of the game. But they're heading into the final minute of the game, and I'm not sure whether it was a tackle or an interception. I think he intercepts a Dundalk attack, and he goes on this raiding run out of his back line. Then fires the ball out wide. But when he fires the ball out wide, he's on the halfway line, continues his run off the ball while the wide player, I'm not sure who it was, somebody might be able, in fact, we have Ben requesting to speak here, so we might ask Ben, he'll be able to fill us in on who delivers the cross. But the cross is one of those, it's coming down from feckin' another planet, it's dropping so high out of the sky. And I what I really want to know now is you need to get a look at this and tell me, is the keeper fouled or is he not fouled? Because the keeper goes up, about three Drogheda players go up, but I'm fairly sure of the three that go up, it's Conor Keeley who's rampaged, continued his rampage and run on all the way, and the ball is somehow bundled into the back of the net. The ref, or the keeper's left lying on the ground looking at the ref, throwing his arms up. But listen, Conor Keeley, for pure desire to have got his head at the end of that. I thought it was brilliant. I'm just going to buzz Ben in here, so I am. Aaron, stay with me as well, because we will jump to you next. But since how this is the game that we're talking about, and this is the game that Ben was at, Ben, are we crediting Conor Keeley with that goal? Was the keeper fouled? What did you make of the whole thing?
How is, lads? My initial reaction was I thought that Conor Keeley got on the end of that. And I'm going to stick with that. We were kind of debating it up in the press box there. Did Conor Kearns get a touch on it? Did Keeley end up getting the final touch? I think Keeley got the final touch. And I'm going to be honest. Now, I have a goalkeeper here who, when he sees it, could correct me. But I didn't think there was enough for a foul in that.
I'm just watching it here, Ben. I agree with you. I think, just watching the ball up in the air, Conor Kearns makes a couple of steps towards it. Doesn't get off the ground enough for me. He doesn't protect himself. And I think Conor Keeley's every right to go up and try and win that, and he gets there ahead of him. That's a fair enough goal for me.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
Some desire by him, Ben. Some level of fitness too, not to be too knackered to jump up in the air after running that far.
Unbelievable. When he broke out of the defence, I was thinking, oh God, when's this going to stop? I thought someone was going to foul him, to be honest. In the 89th minute, and you're going on the counter-attack, I just expected someone to kind of have the know-how to pull him back. But they didn't. He plays out to Kieran Cruz, who was only on the pitch a couple of minutes. And as you said, it's a floating ball. It's a looping ball. It's probably a nightmare for a keeper when you see someone the size of Conor Keeley running at you and it's a looping ball in on top of you. But I don't think Kearns did enough. And I thought Kearns was quite good today. He had a good stop from Thomas Alouie when he was through one-on-one. But I thought he could have done a lot better for that goal. I don't think you can have any sort of complaints looking for a foul there if you're a Dundalk fan.
Do you know what it is, Ben? He tried to catch it.
If he's trying
to try and punch it, he probably gets there ahead of him, but he tried to catch it and pull it down a bit, and Keeley just come in and barrel it over. It's nothing wrong with it for me. I'm happy enough to there to go.
Ben, the game overall, was it a fair result?
I'm kind of conflicted on this, and I spoke to the two managers there. We'll have the videos up on Off the Ball, and I spoke to Kevin Doherty about the whole situation with Joanna Byrne as well. He said he wants the whole club to be united together. So there was a banner unfurled in the Drogheda away end saying united with Joanna. So it's quite clear to see where the people internally on the ground at Drogheda see their affiliations going with. But I spoke to both managers about the chances. Doherty pointed out that yes, Dundalk had a lot of the ball, but they didn't really create many clear-cut chances. Like the Keeley one at the end is arguably the best chance of the game. Thomas Alouie has a one-on-one, which is another great chance of the game. I don't know if you've seen the Danny Mullen goal, but it's a beautiful flick. Like, it's brilliant. Because we kind of thought at the time, oh, maybe it's just kind of hit off him, but no, it's superb. Like, it's a brilliant flick. I don't think Dundalk had that many clear chances, albeit they probably had the stronger foothold on the game. The only thing, if I'm a Dundalk fan and if I'm Kieran Kilduff, that I'm annoyed by is that's two goals now, last week in the 98th minute and this week in the 89th minute. And it just goes to show you, I don't know if it's that extra level of getting used to when you step up from the First Division to the Premier Division, being able to withstand both mentally and physically for those 90 minutes. It might just take a couple of weeks before they're up to that full speed.
Well, what you might be able to tell me, Ben, is because obviously I've only watched the goal back on the League of Ireland feed at the moment. So I've just seen from the moment that Conor Keeley starts to stride forward. I suppose I'd love to see the 5 seconds preceding that. Like, if you're 1-0 up and you're heading towards that stage of the game, you don't want to be coughing up possession in a manner that allows a team to counter-attack. Was it a cheap giveaway of possession, or how did they put themselves on the back foot in this situation?
From what I can remember, Shane, he runs out and nicks the ball. But then there is a chance, I can't remember who it is, but there is a chance to pull him down, and it's kind of a half-hearted attempt to go and pull him down, and the referee plays the advantage, and you just thought, it was one of those moments where you could kind of feel the stadium go, the nerves went up a little bit when they didn't successfully pull him down. And it did. It just had that feeling there was going to be a goal here. I don't know if you've seen the damage done to the pitch. I have a post up there on my own page. I mean, we hadn't even kicked the ball yet on the pitch. And there was black marks all over that corner. It was the same again when the goal goes in. The flares are thrown on the pitch again. I can imagine there'll be a hefty fine coming Drogheda United's way for that. But by God, they got kept back after the game until about 20 past 10. The last train back down to Drogheda was at a quarter past 10. But I can't imagine they'll be too upset with nicking that last goal at the end.
No, certainly not. And many comments of note from Kilduff in your interview after the game?
Yeah, I asked him about those last couple of minutes now, 2 weeks in a row, and he did say it's something you don't want to pick up that habit of being known as that team, oh, we'll get a goal against these in the last couple of minutes. And he said, look, it is something they're going to have to, not necessarily come to terms with, but get more used to playing that demanding 90 minutes of football that they probably didn't face last season. Vinny Leonard was outstanding today, lads. His first start in the Premier League, really, really assured at the back. Like, he plays like a centre-half who's 10 years older than he is. Like, really, he plays like a... Him and Cornwall... And look, he only came into the side today, Leonard, and they looked like they were playing together at this level for a long, long time. Really assured. And Kilduff said after the game, he's a top Premier Division centre-half at minimum. And he can see exactly why. He said clubs in Championship and Premier League were looking around. He said he's going to go on to big things. And I mean, from watching... That's my first time seeing him in the flesh for Dundalk. Really, really impressed.
He's looked the business all right. Baz, they're two of the teams, they're two of the sides, obviously, that would have been up the top of the bookmakers' odds for relegation this year. They both got off to it. Like Ben says, Dundalk will be annoyed at two late equalisers, but yet, two impressive performances from them. Obviously, Drogheda are actually top of the table. They both look like they have a bit about them and could manage to keep themselves away from those bottom two spots.
Yeah, well, they've littered with quality now, Dundalk, and a bit of experience as well. You look at that middle, Aidan Dervin in there, played a lot of games. Keith Buckley, Daryl Horgan, obviously real quality. Mullen, you've got goals in and a young talent in Leonard and an old stalwart with Rob Cornwall behind him. Just looking back on the goals, you'd wonder, could Cornwall or Leonard even step in front of Keighley and let him hit them and go down and get a free out? That's the only thing I think about. As a defensively, Conor Kearns is left awfully exposed to come up and try and claim that ball. Could they just step in a little bit and try and block that off? That's the only thing from a defensive point of view that probably they'll be looking back on in the video, thinking they could have done a little bit better. But listen, that's a good start for them in the league. Get points on the board early. You look at Sligo, a bit of a resilient result down in Waterford as well, stem the flow a little bit. It's going to be really tight and to go to your neighbours and get a point from Drogheda's point of view where they started the league with two wins. That's a big point for them, and it's obviously a big momentum shift at scoring the last minute equalizer as well. And they've recruited really well, added to a team that's experienced now in the league. Good goalkeeper, good spine throughout the side as well, and they've obviously got goals in the team as well, so it bodes well for them.
For sure. Ben, fair play for jumping on. We'll chat to you later in the week, I'm sure.
Cheers, lads. Take care.
Great stuff.
Bye-bye.
Well, Baz, you mentioned there's only one game that we haven't really covered, and thankfully we have a man to jump on to help us wrap up for the night by giving us a bit of an overview of that game. Aaron Deering, were you at the game tonight, or were you watching it on LOI TV?
No, I was watching it on LOI TV for the night, so...
With your fingers crossed as Podge stepped up to take that penalty, a voodoo doll in hand, maybe?
Yeah, well, geez, he fairly blasted it anyways, which is unlike him.
He missed the target, did he?
No, he hit it off the crossbar, but it went up high like it was, I don't know, it was just, he went for the kind of top right corner and it just cannoned off the crossbar and that was it, really.
Lovely. And fill us in on the game overall. How did it shape up?
Not going to lie, I say if you asked even Waterford fans, it was a poor enough game quality wise. Obviously, Waterford kind of dominated more of the ball and possession, probably more of the half chance. Sargent did have to make one great save just actually before, a couple of minutes before the... what you call it, the penalty, but I mean, other than that, it was kind of a game of half chances then. Yeah, for us going forward, there wasn't too much to shout about. Will Fitzgerald was back in the wing, which was good to see, and he had a good couple of runs. But when he was crossing into the box, there's just Traore was trying his best, but it's just there wasn't much quality in the box for us tonight. The trouble, McMullen.
But listen, from a defensive perspective, given what happened last week, I would think that John Russell and most Sligo fans, if you'd offered them an ill all before they headed on their journey this morning, they would have took it.
Oh, 100%. Definitely. Even just before halftime, Shane Blaney pulled up, so he had to come off. So young McElroy had to come back in. And in fairness, himself and Denham were rock solid at the back, especially in the second half when we kind of the first 20, 25 minutes, we were coming under a lot of pressure. Look, I think it, like most of the teams in the league, I think everyone's kind of searching for that striker. You know, Waterford probably are on the better side of things up front. But for us, we're missing a striker, Galway, Dundalk. You know, there's a lot of teams lacking that number nine up front. And I just hope we kind of maybe get someone in before the Sunday deadline. But yeah, look, keep a clean sheet after the kind of defensive fiascos that were present in the Bowes game. I'll definitely take it.
Yeah, you obviously you were the Saturday night game last week, so we actually didn't get to talk to you on Late Night League of Ireland last week. Were you at the game last week?
Oh, I was. Yeah, it's the first game I've seen in the showgrounds now where I think when the third goal went in, so many people just got up and left. Like, it was just unusual to see in the showgrounds, but we were just so off it. I mean, to concede the goal within the first, 2.5 minutes on the clock, just so defensively poor between McElroy and Sargent. And Bose, just like, there was at times you'd think they were playing with an extra man. They were just so up for it, even just the physical battle of the night, of the tough conditions, the wind. You know, they weren't pulling out of tackles where we were. Like, the one thing I will say about Russell is he sticks to his principles, and sometimes at this early stage of season, you can kind of question it a bit. Like tonight, I think we've done a lot more better of just kind of grinding out that result and being more defensive solid, where we probably need to do that on our own pitch at the moment at home because it's very soft. Like, I help out with other lads at halftime and before the game, you know, doing the divots on the pitch, and it's not in great condition whatsoever. And sometimes you just have to play to the conditions, where a lot of the time on Saturday we were kind of passing the ball back and trying to play out from the back, and it's just not on at this stage of the year on that sort of pitch. So maybe in Tala or the Aviva, you know, where the surface is a lot better, you might be able to get away with it. But that's why I actually thought we would be okay against Derry, and I kind of was proven right with the Astro. It's just, you know, it allows us to play football where the kind of heavy pitches don't allow us to do that at this time of the year.
Yeah, that's probably a few early alarm bells, I suppose, with Sligo. But I mean, you think back to last season, and maybe at the halfway point, I think most of us thought they looked like they were going down, and then obviously John and the players did an outstanding job over the second half of the season. It does look like it's going to be a bit of a slog again for them this year, but as we saw, the wonders John was able to pull off last year, he's probably going to have to do a similar job again this year. He's gone to me. Is he? You're still there, Aaron, are you?
Yeah. Why? No, well, look, the only thing I'd say...
Are you concerned at all at the moment?
Oh, 100%. Like, Saturday, I mean, it just, like, coming out of the ground, I just was like, it's kind of a relegation team. They're staring us in the face, kind of, in the sense there just was no fight in the team. And I think, you know, even Richie Towell mentioned that on, I think it was Dorty podcast, you know, there's just no character in that performance. But seeing a bit better this evening that we can actually grind out a result if needs be. But the big thing is, and the elephant in the room is, like, Owen Elding was a massive loss so close to the start of the season. You know, I think everyone was starting to get their hopes up, and I think even Russell himself, that we might be able to hold on to him until June, and then obviously the late bid comes in and we're just not in a position to turn down that sort of money.
But you have to get
a replacement. That's what I'd be thinking. I think a lot of fans are kind of scratching their head, and I'm sure Russell and the committee are trying their best to get a replacement, but something needs to happen, because you can see going forward we're just missing that spark of someone that's able to get a goal out of nothing, and that's what Elding was able to do last year. I know he scored a few penalties, but like, you think of some of his wonder strikes last year, like that's, some of them were just literally, you know, out of nowhere, that, you know, a team can't really defend against per se, where we just don't have that this year, and that makes a big difference when you're scrapping at the bottom of the table. So I'd be concerned at centre back as well, Shane. Just obviously Blaney coming off injured tonight. We four centre backs last year. We had McElroy, Mahan, Denham, and McLean obviously came in. We're now down to three. Like, Mahan's obviously gone to Waterford, McLean's gone to Derry, and we only have Denham, McElroy, and Blaney. And obviously Blaney's come off injured. Now, I think they're talking about maybe playing Conor Reynolds when he's back in at centre back, but I actually think he was solid at right back. So again, you're kind of fitting in young lads into positions, and you know, I just think you kind of need that bit more of experience, especially if we are in a bit of a dogfight, which it looks like we are again this year. So,
well, listen, it might be a fair or an interesting question then to ask. If you were saying you were looking for, you know, you had problems at centre back, or you have question marks at centre back, you look at the centre back down the other end of the field. Why is he still not a Sligo Rovers player? What's going on there?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think for both parties, it kind of just was better off that way, in the sense, I just think John had a tough season last year. Obviously, he's a local lad, so it kind of puts that extra bit of pressure on him. And he was club captain as well, which brings its own extra pressure as well. So I just think he didn't have, like, since he's come back from St. Johnstone, he had a big injury with the ankle that time, hadn't really got a run in the team. Then he started last season very poorly by his own standards. And I just think for both parties, it was probably better to move on and, you know, see if he can restart his career, kickstart it again at Waterford. So now, from what I've seen, they're happy enough with his performance so far. And even tonight, he was solid. He did get a booking for an off the ball thing, I think 15 or 16 minutes into the game. So, you know, that was a bit of a question mark. Would he last the full 90? And in fairness, he did. So look, probably, you know, it's one of those, as I said, maybe it's best for both parties to see if he can kickstart his career again elsewhere.
Yeah, makes sense. Aaron, fair play for jumping on. Thanks a million.
No worries, Shane. Thanks.
Great stuff. Folks, that just about covers it all for us tonight. Thank you very much for everybody who jumped on. And we will be back and ready to rock again for next Friday night. Good night.
Off the ball.